की इस्कॉन स्थापक आचार्य बीपीटी स्थापक आचार्य डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की सामवेद भक्तबिंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय निताय गो प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे हरे कृष्ण ऑन दिस ऑस्पिशियस ओकेशन ऑफ वामद्वादशी विल ट्राई टू रीड फ्रॉम The Pastimes of Lord Vamandev from 8th Canto. Today's verse specifically is spoken by the Lord Himself. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवति न इष्टिकी वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 19 टाइटल द लॉर्ड बेग्स चैरिटी फ्रॉम बलि महाराज टेक्स्ट नंबर 21 श्री भगवान वाच यावंतो विषया प्रेस्तास त्रिलोक्याम् अजितेन्द्रियम् न शक्नुवन्ति ते सर्वे प्रतिपूर्ययितुं नृपा श्रीभगवान् उवाच यावन्तो विषयाः प्रेष्टाः त्रिलोक्याम् अजितेन्द्रियम् नाशक्नुवन्ति ते सर्वे प्रतिपूर्ययितुं नृपा श्रीभगवान् उवाच यावन्तो विषयाः प्रेष्टाः त्रिलोक्याम् अजितेन्द्रियम् नाशक्नुवन्ति ते सर्वे प्रतिपूर्ययितुं नृपा वर्ड वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन श्री भगवान वाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड
सेड
यावन्तः एज फार एज पॉसिबल विषयाः द ऑब्जेक्ट्स ऑफ सेंस एंजॉयमेंट प्रेष्टाः प्लीजिंग टू एनी वन Trilokyam,
Trilokyam,
within these three worlds,
Ajita Indriyam,
a person who is not self-controlled,
Nashaknuvanti,
are unable, Te, all those, Sarve,
taken together,
Pratipuryayitum,
to
satisfy.
Nripa,
O King. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Personality of Godhead said, O my dear King, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. Please repeat, the Personality of Godhead said,
Personality of Godhead said,
O my dear King,
even the entirety
whatever there may be,
within the three worlds,
to satisfy one's senses,
cannot satisfy a person
whose senses are uncontrolled. The material world is an illusory energy to deviate the living entities from the path of self-realization. Anyone who is in this material world is extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. Actually, however, the purpose of life is not sense gratification, but self-realization. Therefore, those who are too addicted to sense gratification are advised to practice the mystic yoga system or Ashtanga yoga system, consisting of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara and so on. In this way, one can control the senses. The purpose of controlling the senses is to stop one's implication in the cycle of birth and death. As stated by Rishabhadev, Nunam pramattah kurute vikarma yatindriya priyata aknoti nasadu manye yata atmanoyam asan apikleshada asadeha. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he suddenly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it is not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Thus, according to Rishabhadev, the human beings in this material world are just like mad men engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. Such activities are not good because in this way one creates another body for his next life as punishment for his nefarious activities. As soon as he gets another material body, he is put into repeated suffering in material existence. Therefore, the Vedic culture of Brahmanical culture teaches one how to be satisfied with possessing the minimum necessities in life. To teach this highest culture, Varnashrama Dharma is recommended. The aim of the Varnashrama divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa, is to train one to control the senses and to be content with the bare necessities. Here, Lord Vamandev, as an ideal brahmachari, refuses Bali Maharaja's offer to give him anything he might want. He says that without contentment, one could not be happy, even if he possessed the property of the entire world or the entire universe. In human society, therefore, the Brahmanical culture, Kshatriya culture and Vaishya culture must be maintained and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern civilization, there is no such education. Everyone tries to possess more and more, and everyone is dissatisfied and unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore establishing various farms, especially in America, to show how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization, which one can very easily achieve by chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Harikriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauramakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Just as the discussion of Lord Ram is not complete without the discussion of the glories of Hanuman. Just as the discussion of Lord Narasimhadev is not complete without discussing the glories of his beloved devotee Prahlad Maharaj. In the same way, the discussion of Lord Vamandev's glories, whose appearance we are celebrating today, will not be complete without discussing the glories of his beloved devotee, Bali Maharaj. Interestingly, there is a familial connection between Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. And the Lord also incarnates in various yugas. So, Narasimhadev, the same Lord, now appearing in a different form as Lord Vamana. Now, why did the Lord, who is supreme and content with himself, why did he appear? Why did he do this menial service, this tuccha seva of going and begging to somebody? What was the response that he was getting from Bali Maharaj? Is that the actual reason that he came, just to beg 3 pieces of land? Why did he come? Then we'll also see the various situations that a devotee is being put through and how he is coming out. When a fruit is put in a juicer, juice comes out. Depending on what is inside us, when we are put in tough situations, what is inside us will come out. Many times what's inside me comes out in form of anger, which is a lower emotion. So we will see what are the situations Bali Maharaj is being put through by Vamandev. And we will also see what is the special favor of the Lord. What does it mean? What's the mercy of the Lord? Sometimes he takes away, sometimes he gives, sometimes he puts devotees in difficult situations. Why does he do that? We'll discuss the storyline of how there's been a constant clash between the devas and the asuras, the demigods and the demons, right up to this current chapter, which is chapter 19 in Canto 8. Canto 8 describes many such clashes between demigods and the demons. There's always going to be such clashes. So we are pretty sure that even if we get heavenly planets, we won't be satisfied. There will be always somebody to give you this notice. Yes, it's time for you to leave. We have come here. You leave by normally or we'll kick you out by force. So this clash is always happening. So as time factor, the Supreme Lord sometimes favors the demigods, sometimes favors the demons also. In one such time when the favor of the Lord was with the demigods, they got the nectar pot given to the Lord after he deceived the demons as Mohini Avatar and he gave the nectar pot to the demigods, they got the energy, and as soon as they got the energy, they start attacking the demons. At that time, Bali Maharaj, who is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, that's how we understand the connection. So, Prahlad Maharaj had a son, Virochana, and Virochana's son is Bali Maharaj. So, as we know, the lineage of Prahlad Maharaj is from a demoniac family. And Bali Maharaj has this family lineage, he is in that family. It's interesting that how his grandfather and then his previously they were all demoniac, and then we have a gem among the demons, the topmost devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, appearing in that demoniac family. And then we see the mentality changes. So Virochana was also an exalted person, and then Bali Maharaj appears in that family lineage. So as a matter of duty, fighting with the demigods, so Bali Maharaj engaged in fighting with the demigods. At that time, since, as I mentioned, the time factor was in the favor of the demigods, they got this power, extremely powerful nectar, which they have taken, and they are very much equipped with all those weapons. So they smashed the demons left, right and center. The demons were being killed in large scale. And at one stage, Bali Maharaj almost lost his life when he was fatally attacked by Indra. Then he was taken away. During this attack, Narad Muni intervened and said, "Demigods, it's fine, you've got the victory, so don't go on a rampage of killing the demons." And then Bali Maharaj, who was very fatally wounded and he was almost close to death, he was taken. And at that time, another interesting personality comes into the picture, who is Shukracharya. He brings back the life of Bali Maharaj, revives him, gives him all the strength that he is needed, and he revives the life of all the demons who got killed. Now, anybody who brings your life back, you will be totally indebted to them, right? Similarly, Bali Maharaj was so grateful to Shukracharya that he started showing dedication, affection, and all his body, mind and words, he started to become a sincere person dedicated to the service of Shukracharya as a spiritual master. So, by this quality and also by satisfying all the brahmanas who are in the Brihu Kacha, who are coming down in the lineage of Brihu, Bali Maharaj is slowly able to regain the power. And the descendants of Brihu, what they did is, they engaged Bali Maharaj in a sacrifice called Vishwajit. This Vishwajit sacrifice is intended to give back all the power to Bali. So at the end of the sacrifice, Bali Maharaj got various things. Some of the things that he got are a chariot, and then a quiver, bow and arrows, and also extreme power. At that time, another interesting thing happened. His grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, also appeared on the scene, and he also gave Bali Maharaj a garland which actually never goes dry. So Bali Maharaj is now equipped with material power and also the spiritual potency of his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj. Now, so you kick me, so now I'll kick you back, so now it's the same tendency, tit for tat. So now that, as we see that now, the time factor is slowly starting to favor the demons. Why? Because they were loyal to their spiritual masters. So even if we have demoniac qualities inside us, if we are sincere enough and serve the spiritual master, he will be in a position to give us benedictions, and slowly we'll be able to come out of those demoniac qualities. Now, simultaneously, what had happened is, Indra offended Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni gave a garland to Indra. At the time, Indra was sitting on his elephant, Airavat. So, instead of honoring the garland properly, he took the garland from Durvasa Muni and then he placed it on the trunk of this elephant. He could have put it on his own shoulder or kept it with proper attitude. So, Durvasa Muni saw right in front of his eyes his garland being given to an elephant. That's the first insult. The elephant, as you know, it's an animal. It does not know what to do, what not to do. It did the unexpected thing, which Indra also did not expect. He took the garland and put it on his feet and started to trample on that. I mean, Durvasa Muni, as you all know, even with the slightest agitation, he gets very angry. And this is sufficient for him to get angry. And then, so, he cursed Indra. And Durvasa Muni gets angry, what do you expect? Blessings? Only curse comes out. So, he cursed Indra, soon you lose all your opulence. So, Indra being a leader, his curse got passed to all the demigods. So, whatever a leader does, whether good or bad, it affects the entire people who are under him. So, you must be careful in our dealings with Vaishnavas. So, we see one side, Bali Maharaj is satisfying his guru, satisfying the brahmanas, getting all the prowess. On the other side, we see Indra offending Durvasa Muni. Then, he is losing all his prowess and opulence. Now, it's a weak time for the demigods. And at that least expected time, when you don't want any other further reversal, Indra had to face none other than Bali Maharaj. Now, Bali Maharaj comes with all his renewed energy, with vengeance and power and the blessings of the brahmanas and his guru. When he even enters the border of the heavenly planets, his effulgence was so much and Indra could see, okay, I cannot handle this person at the moment. Even though earlier encounter, I had smashed him and almost killed him. Now he has got some unique power. Just by seeing him, I'm able to sense it. Now, Indra goes and consults his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Brihaspati advises. He also says the same thing. Now, the time factor is not in your favor, Indra. So, it's better you all go in hiding and leave this heavenly kingdom and let him occupy. And there will be a time, because Brihaspati has the ability to see the past, present and future. Brihaspati is foreseeing that in future, this same Bali Maharaj, who has got the favor of his guru and brahmanas, will disrespect them, dishonor them. At that time, he will be cursed. That time is the time when you will get this back. At this point, you can only take shelter of the Supreme Lord, and that's the only solace. So disappear from your, wherever you are, stay incognito, and then when time favors, you can come back again. And now, the mother of all the demigods is Aditi. Naturally, when your children, who had all the opulence, all the wealth, they were enjoying the heavenly kingdom, now they are nowhere. They are not even to be seen, the fact of enjoying. So, this naturally created a lot of distress in Mother Aditi's heart. So, she approached her husband, Kashyapa Muni. So, here we see the bright side of Kashyapa. So, we saw the dark side when the Kashyapa and Aditi episode. Here we see the bright side of Kashyapa and Aditi. So, Aditi expressed her distress and Kashyapa tried to give her knowledge about the self and then how relatives, the position, wealth, they are all temporary. But she wasn't quite satisfied. So, then he actually taught her how to engage in devotional service. He gave her instructions of how to do payo vrata by which she can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only Lord Vishnu will be able to take us out of the distress. He will be able to protect the demigods from the demons and give the kingdom back to you. So, Mother Aditi, she followed this Payavrata, and at the end of the 12 days, she actually was able to see the Lord face to face. The Lord appeared in his four-armed form and gave his audience to Aditi. And after seeing the Lord, Aditi was so emotional that she could not speak. She had tears in her eyes, and later she was composed herself and offered prayers. And the Lord gave her the benediction that, okay, I know what's in your mind. I will remove the distress. I will appear as your own son. You continue serving your husband sincerely as what you are doing now. Soon I will appear in his heart and later appear in your womb. Saying this, the Lord leaves. So Mother Aditi continues serving her husband faithfully, sincerely. Then the Lord appears in the heart of Kashyapa, because he was also performing austerities. It's not that you give instruction to somebody and you not do it. So Kashyapa was actually also performing austerities. So he also understood that the Lord has appeared in his heart, and later he impregnated Aditi, and in there from them the Lord appeared. So we'll try to read the beautiful section which describes how the Lord appeared. That's in actually the 18th chapter of Canto 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with conch shell, club, lotus and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful, and on his chest was the mark of Sri Vatsa. He wore bangles on his wrists, armlets on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle bells decorating his lotus feet. You can start picturizing our deity form of Radha Vallabha as we start to read these descriptions. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom, and because the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees making their natural humming sounds invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared wearing the Kaustubha gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness in the home of Prajapati Kashyapa. At that time there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all living entities in the upper planetary system, in the outer space, and on the surface of the earth were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and the hills and the mountains were all filled with joy. On the day of Shravana Dwadasi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion Shravana at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. So it is the same day that we are observing today, Shravana Dwadasi. And because the Lord appeared, it is also called as Vijaya Dwadasi. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa explained, "Jai, Jai!" in great happiness and wonder. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hand. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. There is a similar verse where Mother Kunti also describes the Lord as an expert actor. Do you remember the verse? Maya javanika channam ajnana dokshajam avyayam nalakshase mudadrsha nato natya daroyata. So she also says that how the Lord appears like a wonderful actor. So here we see he initially appeared in his four-arm form, and just in front of their eyes of the father and mother, he transformed himself into a Brahmana dwarf. So because the Lord has appeared, he has taken birth, so the priests and his father, they try to do his birth ceremony. And because he has grown up, so they also thought we'll do the thread giving ceremony also together. So in that ceremony, lot of demigods participated and they gave many things, like the king of the Yakshas, Mother Saraswati, his mother Aditi also gave gifts to him, and Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva, she gave him the first arms. Now, the Lord has appeared in his wonderful feature. He has got his belt, he has got his deer skin. He is now dressed up as a brahmachari. And what are brahmacharis meant to do? Beg alms. Tuchya seva. He is setting an example. Brahmacharya gurukule vasandante gurohitam dasavan acharan nicha guror shudrida shaurida. Now, why should he do it? We'll discuss this point now. Earlier, when Prahlad Maharaj was given a lot of benedictions by Lord Narasimhadev, what did Prahlad Maharaj say? Did he grab everything with two hands? Yes, yes, my Lord, give me more. No, actually, he rejected all of them. I don't want the results of karma, jnana and all this. You are the giver of the benedictions. If at all you want to give me any benediction, please, my Lord, please remove the desires from the core of my heart. That is what I pray for. Yati dasyasi me kama varamstvam varadashapa kamanam hridyasam roham bhavatastu vrinevaram. The Lord persisted and then said, okay, please deliver my father Hiranyakashipu, who has committed so many abominable actions. Please deliver him. Lord Narasimhadev said, that you don't have to worry. Because a pure devotee like you has appeared in the dynasty, 13 generations up and down will be delivered. Now we see who is coming in the generation of Prahlad Maharaj. Bali. Now, Bali is also to be rescued. Rescued from what? Rescued from the mentality of being the possessor of everything. We will see how Bali Maharaj speaks to Vamandev when he approaches and begs for these three steps. There we will understand the mentality of Bali Maharaj at that time. So, Vamandev is appearing just to make sure that my devotee, because I have given a promise that I will deliver all the generations. Now, this grandson of Prahlad Maharaj is going in a apparently wrong direction, accumulating wealth, So I should go and save him. What is the only way that I can take off all the wealth from Bali? Just to connect the storyline, Bali Maharaj actually defeats Indra and occupies the heavenly kingdom, and now he is the proprietor, apparently, the proprietor of the three worlds, upper, lower and middle planetary system. So Bali Maharaj is now like the king of the three worlds. Now, to take away the mentality of being the proprietor and controller, that is one of the purposes why Vamanadeva is appearing. And also, Lord can do multiple things in one appearance. He pleased Kashyapa and Aditi, and now in the other mission of his is to deliver Bali. So mission one is completed. I've appeared, I've given enough joy to my parents, all that is done. Now mission, I've got the second one. Okay, so the Brahmana, Vamanadeva's Brahmana, he sets out, immediately takes off. Where? To go to the sacrifice of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is performing Ashwamedha Yajnas. 100 such Ashwamedha Yajnas, if you perform, you can retain the position of Indra. So attaining a position is not so easy, and retaining it is also not so easy. So in that arena where the Ashwamedha Yajnas are being performed, Lord Vamandev enters. Now, even one eye of the Lord is considered as powerful as the sun. Now the Lord himself, with all his potency and his effulgence, is entering the assembly of Bali and all the other priests who are engaged in the sacrifice. So as the Lord enters, his effulgence diminishes the effulgence of all the other personalities who are assembled there. So all of them, out of great awe and reverence, they stood up and they folded their hands and they offered respects to Vamandev. Bali Maharaj, being brought up in a good family, he knows the culture. So he welcomes Vamandev, offers him a seat and takes a pot of water and washes the feet of Lord Vamadev. In this way, what Bali Maharaj is doing is, he is following the footsteps of another Mahajan, who is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva also took the water from the feet of Vishnu and put it on his head. And that's how he becomes more auspicious. There is a verse also which describes Shiva, Shivohu. Means the auspicious Shiva becomes more auspicious by putting the water touched by the feet of Vishnu on his head. Now, following the footsteps of one Mahajan, Bali Maharaj, we'll see how he later on also becomes another Mahajan. Now, after the initial welcoming is over, Bali Maharaj asks, "My dear Brahmana, you have come to this sacrificial arena and you have made this whole auspicious. Now what can I give you? You can beg from me cows, land, wealth, and if you want a nice wife, I can even give you a whole island. What would you like to have?" And that is when this particular verses and this chapter will come into picture. Actually, the Lord will start to praise the Vamandev will start praising the family lineage of Bali. Say great personalities. He will not say demons. He will say great personalities like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu have appeared, and you are in that lineage. And Prahlad Maharaj has appeared in your lineage. Now, whoever in your lineage, whenever they give a particular vow to somebody, they will always keep their word. When a word is given, they will always keep to it. In this way, what Vamandev is doing is, he is giving a reminder. I am going to ask you something, and you have come from a great family lineage. You better stick to it. It's the same strategy Krishna also uses in Bhagavad Gita many times. He will point out the family relationship of Arjuna. We are reading this 2.14 famous verse. Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukadukkata agama payano anitya tam sitikshasva bharata. So Kaunteya and Bharata are being used. You are coming from such a great lineage. So better be mindful of that. So here Vamadeva uses the same strategy. He is reminding, I am going to ask and you better stick to your words. Now, in that conversation actually, Bali Maharaj makes an this offer, and then the Lord says, I have come here just to beg 3 paces of land. If I take 3 steps of land, that is sufficient for me. I have come here to beg only that much. I have not come here to ask you big things. So when the Lord says this, Bali Maharaj makes a significant statement which tells about the mentality that he has. I am able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the 3 divisions of the universe. Here we notice the words carefully. Bali Maharaj is saying, just in front of the Lord, who is the actual owner of the 3 worlds, Bali Maharaj is making a statement. I'm able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the 3 divisions of universe. Lokanam ekam Ishwaram. Bali Maharaj is calling himself Ishwaram of the 3 worlds. Ekam, the word-to-word translation Prabhupada uses, the one and only. Bali Maharaj is saying, I am the one and only Ishwaram, controller, proprietor, master of all the 3 worlds. You can ask from me anything. This is the mentality that Vamandev has come to take away from Bali Maharaj. So Prabhupada in that purport, although Bali Maharaj was a devotee, he was attached to material possession, and therefore the Lord, being very kind to him, showed him special favor by appearing as Lord Vamana to take away all his material possessions. And next Prabhupada makes an interesting point. He has not only come to take the material possessions, but to take the mind as well. So Vamandev has appeared to take away not only the wealth of Bali, but also the mind of Bali. This is from 8:19:32 verse. And second reason, Lord also wants to enjoy some humor. He wants to have a dialogue, ask something, give me something, and then he will expand as we know. So his, Vamadeva's, another reason for appearance is being described here. And late then, Vamadeva actually gives, speaks this particular verse which we are discussing today. He is going to give a short lecture on how to be content and satisfied with whatever a person has. If a person is not sense controlled, even if he gets the entire universe, he will still not be satisfied. Vamadev makes another significant point. If I were not satisfied with the 3 paces of land, then surely I will not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I'll hope to get others. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. Prabhupada actually mentions how Lord is actually setting an example of, even if you are a brahmachari or a sannyasi, you should not ask for more than what is required. He sets the ideal example. Here, Bali Maharaj is saying, I can give you anything within the 3 worlds. You ask me anything. He makes this statement, Bali Maharaj, I can give you anything. So this is what the Lord, okay, you can give me anything, okay, I'm going to ask and then I'm going to take away things, everything from you. So from the Varnashram point of view, even though brahmacharis and sannyasis are allowed to beg alms, they should not ask for more than what is required. If one does so, his progress will be diminished. So one has to be careful in begging alms and get not asking for more than what is required. So after hearing the words of Vamandev, Bali Maharaj said, okay, I'll give you whatever you like. You ask for 3 pages of land, I'll give you to it. So as a mark of giving that, he has to have some water, and again he washes the feet of the Lord, and he is about to give that land in charity. At that time, Shukracharya, his Kula Guru, who like more like a family teacher, he stops. He's saying, you are a fool, you don't know what you're doing. This person who's standing in front of you is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari himself. He has appeared as a son of Aditi and Kashyapa, and now to favor the demigods, he has come in the form of a dwarf incarnation, and now he is begging these 3 pages of land. But later, you know what? He is going to expand and he is going to take away everything from you. So please don't give charity to this person. Then Shukracharya, being well versed in Vedic scriptures, he quotes from scriptures how even though you're given a word, you don't have to fulfill it when there is an emergency. If you are flattering somebody or if you are joking, he gives a lot of reasons where you can just get away from this promise. Here we can see how the character of Shukracharya is deviating from the actual Dharma. Here is a Lord who is being worshipped by everyone, who is desired by greatest of yogis. Even after many, many births, they can't reach him. He is standing at your doorstep. And what should a spiritual master tell? He should engage a disciple in the service of the Supreme Lord. Instead, what is he doing? He is diverting the attention of Bali and he is asking him not to give charity. Now, Bali Maharaj receives this contradicting instruction and advice from Shukracharya, and he did not act immediately. He takes few moments to think. When we are put in crucial situations, instead of responding and reacting in a way that is going to be unfavorable to us, it's better to think for a moment and then act. It's better to think and act rather than act and then later think and repent. So Bali Maharaj thinks, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come to my doorstep. Even if I give him everything, according to Shukracharya, even if I lose everything, what's the problem? This wealth, everything is temporary. And slowly at this stage, internally, Bali Maharaj's love of Godhead is getting slowly coming out. His divine qualities are also coming out. He was so much attracted to seeing the form of the Lord, and now he is willingly able to give charity to the Lord. One may ask, if he is a devotee of the Lord, why didn't he pay obeisances after seeing the Lord immediately? He actually wanted to hide his feelings. He did not want to explicitly show it to everybody in front of Shukracharya and other demons. So he hid his feeling, and now even from the argument point of view, Bali Maharaj will say that I will lose my honor if I don't keep up my promise. What's the point of having all this wealth if I don't give it in charity to a brahmana who has come to my door and he's asking, begging for charity? So I'm really sorry, I'm just going ahead and giving this charity. So this actually creates anger in Shukracharya, and the words of Brihaspati are now coming true. Now Shukracharya will actually curse Bali Maharaj, saying, you're going to lose everything and you will go and reside in hell. So he receives this curse. This is the first reversal faced by Bali Maharaj. Now, normally, if a spiritual master is cursing you, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya a prasada nagati kutopi. So, what do we normally do? If we dissatisfy the spiritual master, we go and beg forgiveness and do what he wants. In this case, the spiritual master himself is deviating from the path of dharma. So then, in that special circumstance, one can give up his spiritual master and still stick to dharma. The supreme dharma of satisfying the supreme personality of Godhead. Now, Shukracharya was standing in between him, in between Bali and Lord Vamandev, and instructing in terms of dharma. But what Bali Maharaj is more inclined towards prema, which is loving Godhead and giving everything to God. And as we will see, he is going to give himself to the Lord when he was not able to fulfill the promise. So Bali Maharaj goes ahead and gives the 3 paces of land. Then the Lord uses this class which was given in the promise of Bali. We cannot accuse the Lord of cheating, because Bali Maharaj said, I can give you anything. So the Lord actually expands himself in a Trivikrama form, and he assumes this supremely wonderful and big gigantic form by which he was able to measure the lower planets and the middle planets in one step of his. And in the second step, he was able to cover the entire upper planetary systems. And it is described that when he expanded himself, when he was taking the second step, the feet of the Lord actually touched the covering of the universe, and it pierced the covering. And then the causal ocean, in terms of Mother Ganges, she actually entered the universe. So the descent of Ganges happened there. Now, when the Lord's feet was traveling in the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and others, they offered worship, they offered prayers, and then they also washed the feet of the Lord. That also started flowing towards the earthly planets. Now, after having shown this form of the Lord, Bali Maharaj is becoming humble. He is being humbled on seeing the form of the Lord. And now, interestingly, this form of the Lord, we have a deity form of the Trivikrama, which is almost 30 feet high. So that deity form of the Lord is actually in South India, Kanchipuram, where you can see the 30 feet form of the Lord, where his 1 foot will be placed on the head of Bali, and then the other feet will actually extend, and then measuring the other planetary systems, and then his hands will be stretched actually on one side. He'll be pointing one, and then he'll be pointing two on the other side, asking, I've got 1 step, I've got the 2nd step, where do I keep the next step? So the deity form will be so beautiful, it's so tall, 30 feet high, and it will actually describe the pastimes of the Lord, where you can see Bali Maharaj's only the face being crushed under the feet of the Lord. Now, we have the same Trivikrama form of the Lord in Melbourne also, in the form of Shalimar. See, the Lord is so amazing that he can appear in a 30 feet high deity form, and he is also so wonderful that he can appear in your palm as a Shaligram Shila. With love, he assumes, to reciprocate with the devotees, he assumes different forms. So the Lord, after having covered all this, he now asks Bali Maharaj, where do I have covered everything? The upper, you said you are the owner of everything, so I have taken everything away. Now I own everything, so now where do I keep my 3rd step? Now at this stage, Bali Maharaj actually comes back to his senses, and then he says that I have got nothing more to offer, my dear Lord. and you have taken everything away from me, but still I have this body, mind and words. Vali Maharaj thinks that the possessor of the property is more valuable than the property itself. I said I will give you everything and I assume that I am the possessor. So I am giving myself to you. We can place that third step on my own head. Now, even before making this promise, Vali Maharaj actually faced much more reversals. He was bound by Garuda by a very tight rope. And in front of everybody, his demons, friends who are his followers, they will also give up his faith on his master. And the other reversals that he will face are that his own wife will also not be satisfied, and she will say, this person thought that he can give charity to the Lord who is a master of everybody. So here we can see step by step all the reversals. He was initially got the curse of his spiritual master. Now his demon followers are also being killed because they opposed Vamandev, and then the assistants of Lord Vishnu, they are starting to kill him, kill the followers of Bali. Then the wife of Bali Maharaj is also insulting. It's all happening in front of everybody. It's very insulting for a person to go through all this in public. Normally our determination would be shaken, and then we'll be saying, okay, if God is there, no, then why? And then we would have become atheist or somebody. But Bali Maharaj stuck to his words. I gave my word, I'll stick to it. And he said, I'll still fulfill my promise. So the Lord is also bringing out the tolerance aspect of Bali Maharaj. How much he is fixed in his determination, how much tolerant he is. And then Bali Maharaj offers himself. This aspect of devotional service is called Atma Nivedan. One who gives everything to the Lord. Interestingly, this process is described by Prahlad Maharaj himself in the verses that he says, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Atma Nivedanam. For Atma Nivedanam, the person who exemplified that Atma Nivedanam is Bali Maharaj himself. Despite facing all these reversals, he actually surrendered himself to the Lord. Now, if we end the description of this pastime at this stage, what will the impression that we get? If I worship Krishna, what will happen? First, he will lose your reputation of your followers. Second, your wife will also chastise you in public. Then you lose all your wealth, step by step. And then you will be left with nothing, and you will be a pauper in the street. And everybody will be laughing at you. Is this the conclusion that we want to come to? And especially when we have our fundraising and all that coming up. Actually, there are explanations which will clearly say what will happen to a person who gives everything to the Lord. In 5.24.18 purport, Prabhupada clearly explains, the Lord appeared before Bali Maharaj as a Brahmana beggar, and Bali Maharaj gave him everything he had. However, Bali Maharaj did not become poor by donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became a successful devotee and got everything back again along with his blessings. Here is an instructive line and very inspiring which we can all follow. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. This could be the tagline for fundraising. Those who give contribution to expand the activities of Krishna consciousness movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. And here is an instructions for fund collectors. On the other side, those who collect contributions on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any purpose other than the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So Prabhupada is very instructive here, both to the donors and to the fundraisers. Now, okay, I'm convinced that I'll give. So if I give, will I get something back? Now, is this going to be like a business exchange? So is material opulence a result of a devotional service? Actually, no. When Bali Maharaj gave everything to the Lord, the Lord actually blessed him with many things. This is like the hope-giving side of the entire pastime. We saw the extreme things which Bali Maharaj was put into. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also had this doubt. Does it mean that worshippers of Vishnu will become paupers? And I see that worshippers of Lord Shiva are becoming prosperous. At that time, Krishna speaks that, yes, the demigods are very quick in giving benedictions, but I am not. I will show special favor to my devotees. Yasyaham anugrinnami harishye taddanam shanai tato ajanam tvajantyasya swajana dukkha dukkitah. When I show special favor to a devotee, I take away all his material opulences. At that time, his relatives and others will go away from him. And he will have only one person to look up to, that is me. He will take complete shelter of me. At that time, I will give him the devotional service to him. So the result, the real result of devotional service is not getting wealth back from the Lord, but getting the bhakti or pure love for Supreme God, Personality of Godhead. That is what we get when we give to Krishna. Now, the Lord actually reveals more of His heart, and what He does is, Vamandev becomes so pleased with Bali Maharaj that He gives him a series of benedictions. He says, now you can go and live in Sutala. Next thing he says, you can become the next Indra in the forthcoming Manvantara. Till that time, you can go and live in Sutala, which is a hellish planet, but it is being designed by one of the supreme architects, which will be as good as heaven. You can go and reside there. Now, Bali Maharaj may think, okay, if I'm going to be surrounded by all the demons, I'm going to get demoniac association, so how am I going to live there? The Lord assures, He gives the second benediction. I myself, personally, I will be with you. Here is an interesting point. He doesn't say, I'll be with you, sitting next to you. I will be as a doorkeeper. I'll be standing on the doorsteps and I will be guarding your entire kingdom. This is the extent to which the Lord can go if you give to Krishna. He says the threefold miseries of hunger, thirst, nothing will affect you. You will not be affected by the demoniac association because I will be constantly glancing at you. Here is another bonus that's coming. Your grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, he will also come and reside with you in that planet. So you've got devotee association. So the Lord, even though He took away so many things, what all benedictions He is giving? He is making sure His devotee is residing in a proper place. He is getting devotee association. He is getting His own association. Now, as a struggling sadhaka, where do we start from to get to that position of devoting everything to Lord? There is a hope-giving verse by Lord Brahma, when he says that Jnane Prayasam Udapasya Namanta Eva Jivanti San Mukaritam Bhavadiya Vartam Stane Stita Srutigatam Tanuvan Manopir E Prayaso Ajita Jita Api Asita Istri Lokyam. He says, one need not give up the occupational duty. You can be in your own position, Stane Stita. What you have to give up is your endeavor to attain the Supreme Lord by Jnana and Karma. When you give up those things and you have to engage in constantly hearing about the Lord, either from the Lord or from other devotees. So give up attempts to understand the Lord by Karma Jnana. Be in your own occupational position. Engage in devotional service by constantly hearing about the Lord, from the Lord or from His devotees. If you do that, what will happen? The Lord, who is Ajita, who is unconquerable, He becomes conquerable. Jita. He becomes conquered. The purport of this verse is very, very amazing actually. It's 10.14.3. Here we see how the devotee engages his body, mind and words in the service of Krishna. How does a devotee engage his body, mind and words? He engages in body by touching the feet of the Lord. He engages his words in praising and chanting the holy names of the Lord. And whenever he thinks in his mind about the Lord appears there. Now, the Lord becomes conquered. Now, the Lord's body, mind and words are also being conquered. Here in this episode, is Vamanadev capturing Bali or is Bali capturing Vamanadev? Actually, the other way is true because of the devotion shown by Bali Maharaj. The Lord himself is captured. His Lord's body, Lord's mind, Lord's words are being captured. How? We can see that the Lord Himself is giving benedictions. The Lord is glorifying Bali. So the Lord's words are being engaged in glorifying His devotees. How is the Lord's body engaged? In this instance, Vamandev, what did he say? I will be your doorkeeper. I will engage myself in your service. So the Lord's body is being bound but in service of his own devotees. And his words, Lord is describing the glories of his devotees. And in his mind, the Lord is always thinking about the welfare of his devotees. So that is why he comes incarnation after incarnation to save the devotees. The Lord says to Durvasamuni, Sadavo hridayam mayam, sadunam hridayam tu anu. Madanyatena janati, naham tebhyo managapi. The sadhus, they do not know anything other than me. And I do not know anything other than my devotees. He says another very hope-giving verse, where aham bhakta paradino, He asvatantra iva dvija. This is Lord Vishnu telling Durvasamuni when he comes to seek shelter from the Sudarshan Chakra. Aham bhakta paradino. I am not at all independent, O Brahmana. He asvatantra iva dvija. Sadhubir grasta hridayo. I reside in the heart of the sadhus. And here is the important one. Bhaktair bhakta janapriya. I am dear not only to the devotees, but also to the devotees of the devotees. I am very favorable to those who are devotees of the devotees. So Bali Maharaj here, he followed in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj gave him the seed of bhakti. And Prahlad Maharaj himself is following the footsteps of Narada. So, by this we see, we must be devoted to the servants of the servants. We must be eager to serve the servants of the Lord. In that way, we can gain the favor of the Supreme Lord. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually has very given a practical way of how to engage everything in Lord's service. First of all, he says, whatever I have, my body, mind, words, my house, my wife, children, everything is yours, my Lord. This is in the section called Atma Nivedanam. In the Saranagati set of prayers, he says, does it mean that, okay, I give up everything to Lord and then I sit back and enjoy, I lead a casual life? But no, he says, now I'll still take care of them, I will protect them, I will engage in earning my livelihood, but the consciousness alone will change. You are the proprietor of all of them and I am just a caretaker. That's it. I don't own anything and I will dutifully protect them. So he says, declaring that my wealth, family members, home and wife are truly yours, I continue as mere servant to dutifully protect them. So he still says that I will continue doing my duty, but he is first offering everything to Lord, at the same time he is continuing to do his duty. So this is something that we can take an inspiration from, how we can offer everything to the Lord and at the same time be engaged in our own occupational duties and thereby gradually take up the process of bhakti and be in the association of devotees, serve the servants of the servants of the Lord and thereby attain the position of pure devotional service. So I'll stop here, we've gone over time. If there are any comments, questions?
Thank you very much for a wonderful class.
Hare
Krishna. Lord Krishna also says in Gita, most familiar verse, 9th chapter, 22nd verse, Tanyantya Shityama, Yo Bhakta Vaste, Tesham Kiyama. Tesham, he gives everything.
Yes.
And he protects whatever you do. Lord Krishna says, parallel.
Yeah.
I wanted to add one question. When did Pradhan Maharaj give seed to Bali Maharaj? You said that
I read in the purports of Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. When exactly was it done? Wasn't mentioned. Maybe I should go back and read more detail, but it is mentioned that he gets all that. Actually, when Bali Maharaj gave everything and he was in this precarious situation, Prahlad Maharaj also enters the scene.
Yeah.
And he praises the Lord and Bali Maharaj both. Initially, we also see that how before going to the war, Prahlad Maharaj comes and gives a garland and blesses Bali Maharaj. And later on also we see when Bali Maharaj loses everything, Prahlad Maharaj appears in the scene and he's there. But when exactly it happened, I'm not sure. I should go back and read further. You had another question. Why did Lord come as a dwarf in this incarnation? Not sure.
Let us be
Yeah, to attract the hearts of everybody. So, yeah. Gopendra Shobhi, you want to say something? Does anyone else know why he came in the dwarf incarnation? No? Okay, this one. Yeah. It is But the question is, we see that how in this pastime it is described, Mother Ganges came after the feet of the Lord PSD, covering of the universe. So the descent of Mother Ganges, there are probably 6 or 7 pastimes related to it. There was a whole lecture given by Shyamanand Prabhu in Chaupati. He gave on Sunday feast class exclusively for Mother Ganges. He's quoted almost 7 or 8 reasons for the descent of Mother Ganges. And Bhagiratha actually brought it to the earthly planet. That's what I remember. So this is entering the upper planetary systems of Mother Ganges. So for Mother Ganges to come to the earthly planetary systems, he actually did austerities, and that pastime goes like that. Any other questions? Okay, we'll conclude here. Vamandev Dwadasi ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki.